You're listening to the Packernet Podcast Network.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Packernet Podcast. I am your host and resident fanalist, as always, Ryan Schlipp. Check us out online, packernet.com. Find me on Twitter, pack_thatio. Well, the first training camp practice with the New Orleans Saints went by without a hitch. And by that, I just mean no punches thrown that I'm aware of. And quite honestly, that's a little bit surprising because from what I understand, our defensive line completely obliterated their offensive line all night long. So I don't know if Trevor Penning was just in a good mood today or maybe they sat him out for fear of punching. I don't know, but so far so good. But we'll go through some of the training camp stuff. We've got some cuts and a signing or two or three, I don't know. One that I know of, but one of the interesting things about it is as the Packers make cuts, so do other teams. So it's just the five kind of shavings off the top. So maybe not some super, I don't want to say talented, but less likely to be picked up by other team type players. But still, as you know, you look at five teams times 32 teams, there's a lot of players that are now suddenly available that the Packers can kind of look at. 160 to be exact. But although things were pretty cordial between the Packers and Saints so far, there was a massive brawl between the Patriots and the Carolina Panthers, and it was a bench-clearing brawl. It's an entertaining video. We'll see. It's just day one of the Packers ordeal. I got to think, though, with the way that the offensive and defensive lines are, on top of the reports from the DBs jawing a lot, you know, when things are so one-sided, people are going to get frustrated. And our offensive line got absolutely annihilated by the Saints' defensive line. Their offensive line got annihilated by our defensive line. I don't think either team was able to throw very well, and apparently our DBs were big-time jawing, especially Rasul Douglas, like massively carried away. So, you know, I'm just saying, I think it's a safe bet. Tevin Jenkins, it looks like they've officially given up on him at tackle, but they are going to try him as a first-team guard right now, which makes sense considering I remember watching the Bears game and Schofield that they brought in to be the replacement right guard. That dude just got whooped on. So they're going to try Tevin at guard and see how that goes. Zach Wilson's surgery is done. Don't really know the timetable, but I guess he's doing good. Pretty big blow for the Patriots. They have placed Malcolm Butler on IR. So it seems like they lost Juwan Williams and Malcolm Butler like in the same day. Two cornerbacks. But Butler hadn't played until 2020. He took a season off, retired, and then is like, you know what, I'm gonna come back one more time for the Patriots. And now apparently he's on IR. So anyways, taking a look at the cuts that the Packers made to get down to 85, that was a requirement. Well, I guess yesterday for you, they had 89 after cutting Randy Ramsey and cut four more. But a couple surprises here. B.J. Baylor was actually let go. That one kind of big time surprises me. Again, he was, I think, the least impressive runner of the group, which doesn't mean a ton because I don't know that anybody else was a super amazing runner. Maybe Tyler Goodson, I don't know. But I would have thought for sure Dexter Williams would have been that guy because I thought he was just coming in to fill in an extra spot. But apparently they just have not seen anything from B.J. Baylor enough so to even boot Patrick Taylor or Dexter Williams, which I'm happy about because, again, I really like Patrick Taylor and I really like Dexter Williams. So the fact that they were able to survive at least this round, that's good, but again, it's just surprising. You know, you would think that they would want to give him some more opportunities. Again, I've heard good reports about him as a receiver and as a blocker, which is pretty big. But yeah, just the fact that he's a brand new player, you'd think that they'd want to try him out. But obviously, they'd seen enough and decided he's just not the guy. Offensive lineman George Moore, George Moore has really not done much of anything. He's not been really, his name has not come up because he's not been really rotated with the ones or the twos or anything. I'm not sure if he has some kind of injury or something, but he didn't play a single snap in the preseason game, so that's not a great sign. They let go of linebacker Ellis Brooks, which is interesting. I was just looking at this. I thought it was kind of intriguing. I was looking at all the different rookies and how they had performed over the first week. And one of the things that I thought was interesting is, well, my main takeaway was how little they had used Quay Walker compared to everybody else. I mean, Quay Walker was not used very much at all. Out of 52 rookies, Quay ranked 47th with his 12 snaps. And you say, well, that's because he's a starter and everything else. Well, I know, but there's a lot of starters here. All the other players here that are going to be starters had more opportunities than Quay did. However, second from the bottom is Ellis Brooks. He's the only other rookie Green Bay Packers linebacker, and they only gave him 9 opportunities. He had one more snap than Clarence Hicks with 8. So of every rookie linebacker, Ellis Brooks had the least amount of opportunities of the guys that actually played. Some people are out with injuries and whatnot, but again, not a very good sign. Also, again, annoyed that Quay didn't get a lot of opportunities. And then finally, I think the most surprising to me personally was the release of tight end Dominique Daphne. The tight end thing has always been tough because there's just too many guys, right? Tonyan, Lewis, DeGuara, Tyler Davis, Dominique Daphne all seem like essentially locks in my mind, but there's also way too many tight ends, and there's no way all of those guys are going to make the roster. So I've been kind of torn on this whole situation as far as who's going to get let go, because it feels like it has to come down to either Tyler Davis or Dominique Daphne, because I don't think they're going to give up on Josiah this early. Certainly not going to be Lewis or Tonyan. Even if Tonyan doesn't start right away, ultimately what I'm saying is, what is going to be the roster when people are healthy? I understand that week one we can carry him or whatever, but that's not the point. And beyond that, again, Tyler Davis is sort of the Robert Tonyan type. So even if we were looking at someone to carry when Tonyan is out, it would be Tyler Davis. But I am a little surprised that it wasn't, I mean, if we're just looking to trim a little bit of the fat, why not get rid of Sal Cannella or Alizé Mack? The only thing I can think is because ultimately we knew that he was going to end up getting cut. It was a foregone conclusion. It had to happen. Which also kind of means that the other guys probably do have a pretty much a locked status. Tonyan, Lewis, DeGuara, and Tyler Davis. And so if you know the guy's going to end up not making the roster, you do right by him, and you cut him early, and you let him go out and try to find some other teams, because somebody will probably want to pick him up, because he's a talented guy. In the meantime, we don't know much about Mack or Cannella, so let's see what we can do with them. There were injury issues, but, you know, I think that's a minor factor. If they really wanted him to be a part of the Packers' long-term options, an injury is not really that big of a deal. Right, Tonyan is injured. It's not even a question of whether or not he's going to get cut. Of course he's not. But that brings us to the new addition to the roster, Mr. Nate Becker, a tight end. 6'5", 264 pounds. Very limited experience. He was picked up by the Lions in 2019 as an undrafted free agent. His only regular season action, he played 30 snaps in 2020. All of those came in one game for the Buffalo Bills against Miami. 17, the majority of those snaps were as a run blocker. He graded out poorly in that regard. After that was as a receiver. He graded out poorly in that. And then he had 3 pass blocking reps, and he had a high grade. But again, it's just 3 reps, so kind of a small sample size. Looking at what he's done in the preseason, 2019, 2021, and this year, even with the Carolina Panthers, he did get a little bit of action. Very consistent in terms of bad grades as a receiver, bad grades as a run blocker, good grades as a pass blocker, but small sample size. Now, if you add it all up, we're up to about 12 snaps between what he did in the regular season, what he did in 2019 preseason, 2021 preseason. All the grades are in the 70s, so maybe there's something redeemable there. He does seem to be pretty much a one-to-one replacement for Dominique Daphne, which is, I guess, interesting. He's sort of that Josiah DeGuara type. He's an inline tight end. He's taken some snaps in the fullback position or the H-back position, which is what Dominique Daphne has done. It's what Josiah DeGuara does. Little bit of slot, tiny bit out wide, primarily in line with some, you know, backfield work. If we go back to his college days, not sure if he's got injury issues or what, but it goes all the way back to, he's 26 years old. It goes all the way back to 2015, didn't play in 2016, and then 2017 and 2018 he did. Again, very consistent, really subpar receiver, decent pass blocking grades and decent run blocking grades. So again, kind of just an inline blocker, not much of a receiver. Obviously, there's some potential for special teams there in terms of maybe part of the reason why they wanted to bring him in. He did grade out fairly well on special teams in 2018 at Miami of Ohio. Basically a 60 overall grade on his four attempts in the regular season on special teams. Preseason, though, last year, pretty solid. Now, again, it's all small sample size, but if you look at 2019, 59 overall grade, 2020 regular season, 59 overall grade. 2021, though, in two of his three games, he graded out really well. In his one game against Green Bay, which maybe that's where we saw him, I don't know. He had a 61 overall grade, but his overall special teams grade for the preseason last year was a 90. So, I mean, again, don't go doing backflips or anything else because it's a small sample size. We're talking 10 snaps in week one, 6 snaps in week two, 5 snaps in week three, 21 total snaps on special teams, but still, a 90 overall grade is noteworthy. There's very few people that get that, just so we're clear. And this seems impossible, but there have been 1,689 players that have played on special teams this year, which, again, seems impossible, but it's roughly 52 players per team, so almost everyone. Anyways, of that ridiculous list, only 14 have a 90 overall grade or higher. 14 out of 1,600. And I'm not sure if I've ever seen a Green Bay Packer with a 90 overall grade on special teams. So maybe there's something there. I don't know. Anyways, why don't we take a break here? Come back and we'll do the training camp thing. Big, giant, massive, awesome shout out to Daniel Moore. Thank you so much for jumping in on Patreon. That is greatly appreciated. If you'd like to support this podcast on Patreon, you can do so. patreon.com/pack_daddy. You can do it for as little as $1 per month. Boy, oh boy, would I love it. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. We all have smartphones, and we all know they're pretty amazing, but they also can be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. So U.S. Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for five. That's right. A company that sells phones wants us to put down our phones. And to see what we find, learn more at uscellular.com/builtforus.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you? You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
So before we get into stuff, I feel like things are getting a little chippy. Maybe it's just me. I don't know. Maybe I'm being more confrontational than usual, but even just things that I'm noticing online, it seems like there's a lot more arguing going on. I don't know if it's just jockeying for, you know, position, because every team's fan base has got their guys going off, and so people are excited about it. And then you've got, even within the fan base, I've noticed, you know, anything I say that's positive, you're going to get 50,000 likes on it. But anything I say that's negative, people are going to lose their mind and freak out, and how dare you, and you're not a real fan, and all that kind of stuff. Let me just clear something up really quick, though. I think we all need to stop being so dramatic about everything and taking everything to the extreme and adding in things that aren't being said. For example, if I say Jordan Love was not on target for 33% of his passes, and that's unfortunate, because had he been just slightly more on target, things would have been much better, doesn't mean I hate Jordan Love and I've changed my mind and he's never going to be good and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Just relax. I'm simply saying I watched it and it wasn't great. That's it. If I say Romeo Doubs is really having a problem with drops, that doesn't mean he's never going to get it fixed and he's never going to be a good wide receiver and everything's over. I don't know why people feel the need to just add in a whole bunch of nonsense. He's had a lot of drops and that's a problem. That's not debatable. I had someone today and I did my best to not engage. I threw my little sarcastic comment and walked away. Unfortunately, they didn't respond. So it was all good. We could just end it there. But I had mentioned Romeo Doubs' drops because he did it again today or yesterday, like he has every day, like he did in the preseason game, like he has every day in training camp just about. By the way, Rodgers today came out a little fired up about it, talked more generally about mistakes, but when asked if that was specifically it, he said, well, no, not specifically, i.e. that is part of the problem. But in addition, he also went on to say that was his best pass of the night, so he was really upset that that got dropped. But beyond that, the comment was, gee, I'm old enough to remember when Devontae Adams and Ja'Marr Chase had drop issues. Okay, couple things. Number one, that's completely irrelevant to anything whatsoever, because I never said he can't get it fixed. I just said it's a problem, and it is. Drops are a problem. Can we agree to that? Does everybody listening to me agree to that? That drops are a bad thing, and they are a problem. Because if you can agree to that, then you and I don't agree, don't disagree on a single thing. Nothing. We don't need to get all dramatic and start throwing a hissy fit as though I said it'll never get fixed and he'll never be better. You're saying he's never going to be good. Calm down. Second of all, to expand on that, just because somebody else fixed it doesn't mean everybody else is going to fix it. That would be stupid. Because then we're not allowed to look at any negatives. Because everybody has overcome every issue at one point or another. You're not allowed to say anything negative about anybody, because if you can point to one person ever in the history of humanity that had that problem and then overcame it and went on to have a good career, then you're not allowed to talk about it. That's kind of what we have going on with Jordan Love and Aaron Rodgers, right? Jordan Love is struggling. Oh, gee, I seem to remember Aaron Rodgers struggling. Yeah, I know that, dude. So what? He's struggling is all I'm saying. Now, you can come down incorrectly on both sides of this. You can see a small sample size and say, therefore, he's never going to fix this. And that would be wrong. But it's also wrong to say you can't mention it, because if you mention it, you're implying they'll never fix it. And that would be silly because somebody else once fixed it. And that means it's obviously going to be fixed. Nothing that you're saying makes any sense right now. Just because somebody fixed it doesn't mean everybody fixes it. More specifically on those two points. Number one, Devontae Adams didn't fix his drop issues until year four. I'm going to still call that a problem. If you're telling me Romeo Doubs is not going to fix his drop issues until year four, that sucks. Fifth or sixth or seventh of all, Ja'Marr Chase still hasn't fixed his drop issues. He had the second most drops of any wide receiver in the NFL. He had a good season, but he had a lot of drops, and so it still didn't get fixed. But here's the other thing. Some people don't fix it. So, you know, it's like people want to swoop in with their, like, gotchas, but they're going through the wrong doors. You're jumping out from behind the couch a little too soon. You're supposed to wait for me to say, therefore, he's never going to be a good wide receiver, so that you can drop the, oh, really? Because Devontae overcame that issue, kind of. Oh, man, you got me. Except I never said he wouldn't be a good wide. I just said he's having an issue, and it is an issue. Do you not understand how these things work? I really feel like people don't understand how any of these arguments actually function. Do you not understand the point behind the arguments? The fact that Devontae fixed an issue doesn't mean that everybody who has the issue fixes it. It doesn't mean that anybody that has the issue, we shouldn't be worried about it. It's an issue. It's like if your house is on fire. Oh, that's not a big deal. My cousin's brother's sister once, their house started on fire and it just, you know, it went out. So it's not a big deal. Okay, I think we should get out of the house and call the fire department. Maybe you didn't hear me. I said that they didn't need to and it was fine. Man, bad things are bad things, period. The only time you need to bust out the, well, here's an example of somebody that fixed it, is for somebody that says that they can't fix it. If somebody says Jordan Love can't ever be a good quarterback, point them to Aaron Rodgers. Point them to Josh Allen. You can point them to those examples. But you only use that when somebody says they can't fix it, they can't be better, this can't change. You don't use that argument for somebody says he's having problems today. These are the issues. He did this wrong. This is where he's coming up short. This is where he's not doing the right things. This is where he needs to do better. The fact that somebody once was bad and then became good is irrelevant at this stage and in this conversation. He's looked like garbage so far. Oh, really? Have you ever seen Aaron Rodgers? Nope. Wrong conversation. Go talk to somebody else. That has nothing to do with what I'm talking about right now. I'm sorry that you're sad that some people say sad things about players that you like, that you just want to be excited all the time. I want to be excited too. I am excited. I still like Jordan Love, and I'm still rooting for Jordan Love, but the dude has not done anything well. I'm beyond excited about Romeo Doubs, but I'm beginning to get beyond scared about his drop issues because it's a major issue. I'm not scared because he can never fix it. I'm scared because if he doesn't, like some people don't, then it's a big issue. In fact, this is one of the bigger issues. When I was a big fan of KJ Hamler, massive fan of KJ Hamler, he came into the NFL, the guy was no good, and the advice that was given to me was, this is why you should never bet on guys that have drop issues in college, because those guys always struggle in the NFL. So it's not true that everybody fixes it, obviously. And it is a massive issue if he doesn't get it fixed. And I'm not going to pretend that it's not just because Devontae fixed it like 8 years ago. That's irrelevant to me. It's a big issue. And I'm not going to gloss over it. Or I'm not going to gloss over anything else. The negative fans can be beyond obnoxious, but there are times the positive fans can be just as bad. Just throwing garbage arguments out there just to make everything go away and make everything perfect. Everybody's so good. Everybody's perfect. Everybody's wonderful. We have everything is just the best ever. Quay Walker is the best, and he was perfect on the preseason, even though I didn't see him once. Amari is fixed and healed, and he's this great, wonderful, perfect wide receiver now. He didn't do anything, but boy, oh boy, this is breakout season right now. I mean, listen, I'm beyond thrilled that the narrative has switched on Amari because it was so stupid in the other direction. But the guy caught a pass with nobody defending him and ran in a straight line for a touchdown. And suddenly he's no more fears. He's going to be an elite. Watch out. Breakout candidate. Here he comes. I want to see him separate once before I crown him anything, you know? Can we just freaking calm down a little bit? You know, way too negative on Sammy Watkins. Way too much hype on Romeo Doubs. Way too much expectation for Christian Watson. Way too much hype now for Amari Rodgers. Except for those that haven't jumped on board, probably still way too negative on Amari Rodgers. Way too much hype on Samori Toure, just like there was way too much hype about Tyler Davis. Jordan Love's just like Amari Rodgers. There's people that are either way too high on him or way too low on him. There doesn't seem to be too much in between. Danny Etling, are you freaking kidding me? I think we might have something special here. Oh, boy. Ay, ay, ay. Jaron Reed is basically Aaron Donald. TJ Slayton is Aaron Donald's little cousin. Jonathan Ford, who's made like three plays this entire year, is going to beat out Jack Heflin for a job, and I have no idea why. Darnell Savage, you might as well just throw in the garbage. He's just cooked. He's done. He's over. Stokes, probably way too high on Stokes. The narrative among Packer fans is we already know he's basically an all-pro. We know he's set. He was kind of mediocre last year. I'm hopeful that he takes a step in his second year. I mean, it was a good year as a rookie, which is my standard on that, my stance on that. But overall, it was a mediocre year for a cornerback. Rasul Douglas is basically Charles Woodson. And look, I genuinely don't really care that much about the hype. I like to get involved in the hype sometimes and get excited about it. But when you start just making random things up, anytime anybody wants to bring something up, which is very basic, like Romeo Doubs drops are becoming a serious issue. Most people just don't want to engage in it because it's like, ew, I'm not. But some people actually want to like go after it. Like, well, technically nothing. Drops are an issue for wide receivers. There is no debate about that. He has to clean it up. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have to fight people on this. So, I mean, look, your opinion on how things are going to turn out is your opinion. I have mine as well. But there are certain things that are not really disputable. What happened in front of our face is not disputable. How things turn out is separate from that. But if I'm talking about what happened immediately in front of my face, don't try to drag me into what I think is going to happen in the future that I'm not even talking about. The reason I'm so angry about the drops is because the more I see him play, the more I realize this guy is special. And those drops are going to be the difference between him being special and him not being very special at all. And so, yeah, it absolutely burns me up inside because I want what you want. But I'm just acknowledging what's in front of our face, not ignoring it. Just got it again. Sterling Sharp had drops early in his career. Adams, too, just saying. I'm not asking to be consoled or convinced that it's possible for somebody to fix it. I literally said this has to be cleaned up, which implies that it can be cleaned up. I'm just making a very clear statement that this needs to be cleaned up because it is a problem. I don't know what it is that I'm saying that implies that makes people think that I don't realize that somebody in history has had this issue and then fixed it. I don't know what this is supposed to be helping me understand. I don't want him to drop the football. He is dropping the football way too often. If you want to just jump in and say, I'm confident he'll clean it up, fine. That's based on nothing. If you want to do a research assignment on how many people with drop issues fix their drop issues, that would be interesting. Rather than picking out two guys in the last 30 years that have done it. Because for all I know, there's been 70 guys in the last 30 years that haven't and are out of the league. Well, obviously you go back far enough, they're out of the league no matter what, but it's just not constructive to me. And again, maybe people just are not understanding. And the assumption is that I'm just saying it's over. There's nothing we can do. He's doomed. Cut him. This is what people hear when I say stuff like this, I guess. Just cut him. I hate him. Cut him. Can't fix this. It's over. That's the only reason I can imagine anybody coming back and being like, hey, I actually remember a couple guys that had drops and then they fixed it. And then I go, really? And then I go look it up and I find out it's true and I realize it's not over. There's a chance, except I don't think it's over, and I know there's a chance. That's exactly what I'm saying, is I hope that he fixes it, because I know that it's possible, but I also know that it's possible that he doesn't, and I'm worried about that. Lee takes it a bit further and says, all the great ones have had drops early in their career. So, well, there you go. I guess we should have been worried if he's not dropping the foot. You see what I mean, though? Like, I'm sorry I'm picking on people, but this is the level of ridiculous. Now we're going to take the drops and use that to compare him to the great ones. Come on, man, what are we doing? And I guess part of this is just supporting the guy. Like, you just don't want to pile on him because I like him. Like, we treat these guys like our friends. Once they become good at stuff, they become our buddy and we defend them no matter what. But that's not how I operate. This is just information for me. Romeo Doubs is a football player, and I'm excited about him playing well for the Green Bay Packers. He's not my friend. I don't feel the need to defend him when he does things wrong. Like, he's my brother. He's not. And I don't know, maybe that is something that I have to do. When it gets this deep, maybe I just got to go back and be like, all right, let's find people with drop issues. I'm so tempted to do it like right now. I wonder if I can do a quick look at this. Let's take a look. All right, here we go. Let's just do a quick walkthrough. And I'm doing this blind. I don't know. I have no idea if it's like 10% fix it, 50%, 90%. I have no idea. I'm just going back to a random year, 2018, and I'm looking at the 2018 draft class. So these are rookies coming in with the biggest drop issues. Let's start with DJ Chark. Second round pick, 6'4", 198, 4.34 speed. This is a Christian Watson type, and he had drop issues coming in to the NFL. As a rookie, he had a 28 drop grade, so right away you know that there are some issues here. But 26.3% of his passes were dropped. That's obviously a really ridiculous number. The next year, 2019, it seemed as though the issue was fixed, 2.7%, but then it kind of came back in 2020. He dropped 8.6% of his passes, and then last year, although a small sample size, he dropped 22.2% of his passes. So it's hard to say he 100%. I mean, obviously, it's not as bad as his rookie year, but his rookie year was kind of ridiculous at 26.3%. I think in 2020, five drops, not the greatest thing in the world, kind of came back. And then again, last year, the big test is going to be this year with the Detroit Lions. 2018, Russell Gage, again, had an absurd number as a rookie, 25%. Second year was his best year at 3.9%, but then it jumped back up to 9% and 7% the next 2 years. Auden Tate seems to have gotten better every single year. If we just look at the grades, which I think, I mean, the stats are good, but the grades kind of give a general picture of what it means, I guess. 41 overall grade, 51, 64, 72. It got better every single year for Auden Tate. Now, he doesn't play football very much, but, you know, it's a thing. Cortland Sutton, 29 overall drop grade, 17%. And then an immediate fix the next year at 4%. And then the next year after that, 25% drops. And then the year after that, 1.7%. Trying to find guys that played more because there's a lot of small sample sizes here. Damian Ratley. How about Calvin Ridley? There's a good one. Although, again, this past year, 2021, he didn't play very much. But his drops were 11%, 4%, 8%, 8%. 11.1, 4.5, 8.2, 8.8. You got Marquez Valdes-Scantling. He had drop issues at 9.5. The next year was 6.9. The next year was 14.6. And then in 2021, he actually didn't drop anything. So we could say it's fixed, which is great. But it's hard to believe that he had three straight years of kind of struggling with drops, and then all of a sudden it's 100% fixed. Part of the issue is I don't have a baseline for Romeo Doubs. You know, I'm looking at guys who had just ridiculous drop issues, like 30%. I don't know if it's for Doubs at like 9% or whatever, because he hasn't really done anything. Although right now his drop percentage is 25%. Just one drop, but that's where it's at right now. The other thing worth noting, I guess, is how many of these guys go on to be really good wide receivers, right? I think of the list that I named, maybe Calvin Ridley would have been kind of decent on that list. If we go back to 2017 and look at the guys with the most drop issues, Mike Williams would be the one guy that's a pretty good receiver. He would rank 11th. So he's not in the top 10 worst as a rookie class in 2017. Nobody in the top 10, I don't think, is a very good receiver. But even Mike Williams still has some drop issues. Not every year, but it's pretty much every other year. 2017, 2019, and 2021, he had drop issues. The next best would be Kenny Golladay. He's 17th. So there's 16 more receivers with bigger drop issues. He still struggles with drops. Again, not every year. With the Giants this past year, he didn't. But 2017, 2019, and 2020, he had drop issues. Cooper Kupp might be the one success story. Not that he was necessarily terrible with it. He's kind of middle of the pack. But his drop percentage was 5.2. If we look at his grades, 57 overall drop grade. But it went after that 75, 89, 79, 87. So immediately much better hands. But that's kind of rare. So, I don't know. Again, it'll be a little easier to tell once we get a bigger sample size with Doubs. And who knows, by the time this training camp is done and the regular season starts, the issue might already be behind us. I don't know. Because I went and looked at it. He didn't really have a big drop issue in college, which I think is actually quite comforting. If you look at his drop grades, 79, 73, 70, and 82. So, it was never really a big issue. The worst drop percentage year, 7.7% in 2020 at Nevada. So this is kind of a new issue, which is of all the things we've talked about, the most comforting is the fact that this is, for some reason, brand new. I don't know what that means. Maybe it's jitters, maybe it's nerves, I don't know. But he's played 4 years and has seen a bajillion passes thrown his way because of the kind of offense that they're in and everything else. 350 passes thrown his direction. He's dropped 14 of them. I think he's dropped 14 passes in camp so far. So this is obviously a different thing. So I'm hopeful. I just don't like the silliness. So I guess what I'm saying is, if you see me on social media or hear me on the podcast say things like I'm upset with this, or I saw him and he didn't look good here, I'm not saying I don't like him. I'm not saying he's never going to be good. I'm still rooting for him. I still want him to succeed. And I'm still going to hold out hope that he can turn it around. And if I don't think so, I will say so. Don't assume it. Trust me, I'll tell you if I think it's game over, it's never going to get fixed. If I don't say that, it's because I don't think that. So we don't need to overreact to everything. All right, let's quickly run through some Packers training camp notes from, I guess, yesterday with the New Orleans Saints. Start as usual with the Matt LaFleur comments. They decided not to do one-on-ones because they were afraid that that would cause some fights. Personally, I don't care, but I get it. Jenkins, Watson, and Tonyan, who are taken off of PUP, will do individual drills but did not participate in the 11-on-11 sessions. Probably will not today, I'm assuming, but I guess I don't know. Did mention that the Elgton Jenkins at right tackle thing is not anything official. I think partially he's saying that because he doesn't want to say anything's official, but also because there's probably some truth to it. Again, trying to make it sound like these things are just completely random, picked out of a hat, when really we're probably like 96% set. Two officiating crews were on site, which is evident when we go through the notes, because constant flags. But right out of the gate, starting offensive line, Yosh, JRJ, Myers, Hanson, Newman. Again, same combination, assuming we don't have Elgton Jenkins. Starters with Aaron Rodgers include Watkins, Lazard, Lewis, Cobb, and Jones. So Jones at running back, Mercedes at tight end, and then Watkins and Lazard outside, Cobb in the slot. First play of the day, Aaron Jones gets stuffed. Now, again, just to give you the general narrative of the day, the defense won on both sides of the ball, hands down. Unreal pass pro by Mercedes Lewis on the edge gives Rodgers time, but pass is broken up. Ref calls DPI on the Saints. Romeo Doubs forced the DPI on the first pass against Marshawn Lattimore. Love to see that. Again, harping on him because of the drop, but it sounds like outside of that, he still had a really good day. There's multiple videos of him crushing guys. And then you got him up against Marshawn Lattimore. And I know I've been kind of picking on Marshawn Lattimore a little bit in terms of him being overhyped, but he's still one of the premier corners in the NFL. You know, I mean, if you force me to pick 10, because everybody's got their stuff, I don't know for sure that Lattimore would be off it. He might not be on it, but call it top 20, whatever. He's a good corner. And right out of the gate, Romeo Doubs is forcing DPIs. Packers and Saints starting their first team period. I'm watching the Green Bay defense because it sounds like they had Packers offense, Saints defense, and Saints offense, Packers defense running at the same time. So there was a lot of like people reporting two different things at the same time. It was very weird, but also kind of cool that a lot going on at once. But he says, starting their first team period, I'm watching Green Bay defense. Michael Thomas dropped an open crosser from Andy Dalton. Kamara short catch. Quay and Dre all over it. Chris Olave deep back. Beat Stokes for a first. Ingram run goes nowhere. That's another narrative I'm not looking forward to, is anytime Chris Olave has a highlight, we're going to have to hear about how we should have had Chris Olave. Even if he was gone, it's still like, all the, you know, he's so much better. And it's all the comparing stuff. Like, just, we got who we got. Let's see what they can do. Let's not say ridiculous things for the sake of being ridiculous. Packers rookie Devontae Wyatt getting a rep up front with the first defense, which is obviously very exciting. First three reps went to Rodgers before Love came in and took the final rep with the number ones, which is kind of cool. He's something that I think all of us have been saying, is it'd be kind of nice to see him with the ones sometime. Even in the game where he did play with the ones, it was a billion injuries. I don't know. Just seems like it would be nice. Dylan tries to bounce outside. Saints defense is all over it. Patrick Taylor stuffed by Malcolm Roach. Former Badger Zach Bond gets to the sideline for another stop of Taylor. Zach Tom is working as second team left guard. So again, they're still trying to work him in a little bit with the guard spots and see what they can do with him there. Preston Smith in good position on Kamara for a check down in the flat. Then Kenny Clark meets Kamara behind the line and wrecks a run. Jordan Love finds Tyler Davis in stride on a crosser. Rodgers tries a no-look Lazard in the flat, but it's off target. No comment. Cam Jordan doing Cam Jordan things and busting through the offensive line for a stuff of Dylan. Ryan Wood says Packers offensive line not getting much push versus the Saints defensive line up front. Alan Lazard was open by forever and a day across the middle. Rodgers finds him, but there was a flag, not sure of the call. Holding on Winfrey. This is a different play, I believe. But a nice swing pass to Jones. Pressure on Love forces a quick incompletion. In the joint practice with the Saints, a lot of penalties on the Packers offense, says Dave Schroeder. Matt Schneidman says, heard a big thump on the other field since I'm watching the Packers D versus Saints offense. Looked like Marshawn Lattimore laid out Doubs early. I think that was the DPI call. Herman says, Packers offense is off to a rough start. Two false starts, hold, and a possible OPI. Not doing much against the Saints defense. Nice cut by Dexter Williams, but not much doing. And another false start. Brutal. Love misses Danny Davis over the middle. Nice block by Zach Tom and a great cut by Dexter Williams. Pick up of about five. Lots of tweets about flags everywhere. Aaron Rodgers having fun with Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. Rasul Douglas pass breakup, and he's happy to talk about it. Coverage against Landry, and that does not stop. This dude starts breaking up passes, and he is chirping. Watching some defense now, Jaron Reed and Rashawn Gary meet at the quarterback to force a checkdown. Douglas pass breakup on a pass intended for Landry. The entire front collapses the pocket, but credit Preston with the sack. Reed, Clark, Gary, and others. the entire defensive line got there. Another false start on the Packers offense in joint practices against the Saints. Offensive line struggling for the Packers. Lots of false starts during this team period. Kamara drops a pass. The ball ricocheted in the air and Troutman comes down with it. Lowry busts through the line. Dalton throws one 10 yards over the head of Thomas. Rodgers and Winfrey not on the same page along the sideline. McDuffie all over a Landry crosser. He's been great. So again, most of these, it's all defense on Packers and Saints. Jair Alexander is jawing at Michael Thomas as the sideline throw sails high. Then Barnes and McDuffie both make nice plays on in space for twos. And Wyatt Slayton flushed a quarterback for a sack. So you got Jair chirping at Michael Thomas. You got Rasul chirping at everybody else. Rodgers misses Watkins badly. He had a step. Kobe Jones and Devontae Wyatt combined for a sack. Give the nod to Jones. Freaking Kobe Jones, man. That guy every day. Quay Walker comes off the edge and forced a hold on Ramchek. Quay still would have gotten the sack. Wild play from Quay. Love throws a pick on the other side. Says Love picked off. Saints celebrate like they won the Super Bowl, but they were offside. Says it was picked off by Bradley Roby, intended for Malik Taylor. Caleb Jones got a pancake, but Bradley Roby picked Love. Okay, so good play by Caleb Jones, but that was the pick play. I'm trying not to read the same thing multiple times, but sometimes it's hard to tell what we're talking about. The Saints offensive line has had no answers for the Packers front, immediately surrounding Dalton here, and tip the ball at the line. Love to Hyman for a nice pickup. Dalton is struggling. He misses Thomas again. Solid coverage by Douglas. Defenses are absolutely dominating on both sides early. Rasul Douglas has been extremely vocal. He's been targeted twice, got his hands on the ball both times, and he has had a lot to say about it. Taysom Hill drops an open crosser over the middle. This one says, Rasul Douglas is letting the Saints hear it on every incompletion, just yelling right at the entire offense behind the play. Rasul wants to fight, man. That's all there. He wants somebody to throw a punch. I like that about our secondary. Maybe not the safeties, but our corners, Jair in particular, but now it sounds like Rasul is kind of picking up on that. These guys are talkers, man. They want to get deep in your head. Book hits Baker for a decent pickup. Book having a little success against the Packers second team defense. Chase Hansen breaks through for a would-be sack on Aaron Rodgers. Sean Davis with a pick six on Ian Book. So just when the guy's getting a little bit of momentum, Sean Davis breaks through for a pick. Eversol says strong camp continues for number 30, Sean Davis. Better series for Rodgers in the offense. Two connections with Jones and now a slant to Watkins. Packers defense just put on an absolute clinic against the Saints offense. Pocket collapsing repeatedly. Tight coverage all over. This is Matt Schneidman. He says, Rasul Douglas is talking an incredible amount of you-know-what. Just a preposterous amount. Adrian Amos is now the personal protector again on punts with Dallin Leavitt out. In punt drill, Packers gunner Rico Gafford just got blocked about 5 yards out of bounds against the Saints double team. Almost took out about 10 Saints players on the sideline in the process. Says there's a discussion going on, perhaps about favorite cheese flavors. Hard to tell, but tempers are up during special team. Some chatter on the sidelines between Green Bay and New Orleans. Now Samori Toure gets mauled out of bounds by Saints double team. As a gunner, Saints players had moved their sideline this time, which was a wise choice. So our gunners are trying to get down the field, and these guys are just absolutely bullying our guys 10 yards out of bounds. Amari Rodgers and Romeo Doubs are with the ones receiving punts for the Packers. Eric Stokes and Rasul Douglas are used as perimeter blockers on punt returns. Cornerback Keandre Thomas just stonewalled Saints gunner Traquan Smith out of bounds. Didn't let him get 5 yards downfield. Smith incredulous with the ref for not throwing a flag for continuing to block out of bounds. So it sounds like Keandre... Dude, Keandre's a bully, man. I like Keandre. I always like... There's always those guys that are... Who the heck was it for the Packers for a while? The only thing the guy was really good at was just creaming people. Keandre Thomas I think he laid out two people in the first preseason game, and now you've got the Saints are bullying our guys on special teams two times in a row, and now Keandre gives it right back. You got their gunner, Traquan Smith, and Keandre just lays the guy out. Not only does he lay the guy out, but he doesn't let him get 5 yards down the field and continues blocking him, including way out of bounds. And now he's got the guy tattling on him, going over to the refs. That's awesome, man. I'm quickly becoming a Keandre Thomas fan. He's just mean. I like that. Back on defense, and another sack. By my count, that's like 1,000. Gary and Preston combined for this one. Kamara with a sweet cut. Amos fills the gap nicely. Vernon Scott all over a quick completion. Jaron Reed has been a revelation. Wins quick inside and stuffs Ingram. 90 has made plays every single day. Unreal start for him. Just saw Packers wide receiver Danny Davis limp to the Houston Center with a couple trainers. Short crosser to Kevin White for about 5 yards. A rare net positive play against the Packers' number one defense. Quay Walker finding out that Alvin Kamara is not a fun matchup. Beautiful route by Kamara to get open outside for a touchdown. And then Romeo Doubs' touchdown from Aaron Rodgers caught the ball at the one and turned to get the ball over the pylon. Very savvy play. Lowry with a great pressure and then bats the pass away. The defensive line remains super impressive. Right after that, the line combined for a sack. Credit the coverage on the back end. First team red zone drill ends with Aaron Rodgers to Sammy Watkins' touchdown. Watkins was all alone in the end zone. And Igbare getting in on the sack party. It's been insane to watch the pressure this defense is getting. It's becoming a shock when they aren't in the backfield. I mean, I don't know. It's just exciting, man. I mean, again, the biggest question is our offensive line really bad? Is our defensive line really good? Is it some kind of combination of both? The jury's out on the offensive line. It sounds like it might be a bit of a problem. They held up extremely well in the preseason game. They're struggling today. But I think we've answered the question about the defensive line. They've never had a bad day against the Packers offensive line, against the 49ers offensive line, and now against the Saints offensive line. They are annihilating everybody. Good protection buys love time, and he finds Winfrey for the last touchdown of the red zone period. And Igbare sacks Ian Book in the red zone. Packers defense has been living in the Saints backfield today. I've noticed that I've switched back to Enigbare, and I don't know why. It's just a thing that happened. Kamara with a nice couple runs back-to-back. Rodgers hits Watkins for a huge play along the sidelines. Thomas actually gets a catch on Jair, super rare, quick in-breaker, and Jair was still all over it. I was really not looking forward to the first official catch on Jair being the Saints, but I kind of had a feeling it would happen. I guess we could give it to, who was it that caught one? Was it Lazard? Jair fell, but I kind of want to give it to Lazard now, because otherwise it's going to go to Michael Thomas, and that's depressing. The deep play to Sammy Watkins, by the way, was a false or a free play, because he got the defense to jump, and it was a 50-yard touchdown to Sammy Watkins. Kamara finding a groove on the ground now for the Saints, couple good runs, then Dalton hits Thomas on a comeback in front of Alexander. Best sequence for the Saints versus the Packers D so far. Rashawn Gary did walk into the Hudson Center. Doesn't sound like, as far as I can tell, anything serious. But I don't know. Rodgers nearly had a highlight deep throw to Doubs against Roby, but Doubs can't bring it in. Ryan Wood says, Romeo Doubs toasts Saints cornerback Bradley Roby deep down the right sideline, but the Packers rookie drops a perfect ball from Aaron Rodgers. Oof. Kobe Jones having a sneaky strong camp combines with Slayton for a tackle at the line. Ento can't hang on to a one-handed pick, and now Kobe Jones with a sack. I think he's had 3 sacks and a stuff already today. Really incredible. That last part I added. Eversol even says Kobe Jones, number 49, has had 3+ sacks today. He's flashed a lot. Nice play from Enagbar in the backfield. Talk about a player coming on over the past week. From quiet to disruptive almost overnight. Now Enagbar and Tipa meet at the quarterback for a potential sack. So another guy to get real excited about because, again, he was very quiet all through camp. He was not even running with the twos. He was kind of with the threes, fours-ish, I don't know. Not really doing anything, not really making any noise, and all of a sudden, it's becoming a daily thing for him, too. And Agbar just closed the back door to perfection. Came right down the line and made the tackle on the backfield. He played that beyond perfectly. Taysom Hill ends that stretch on a plus note for the Saints, too, is making contested catch over the middle versus Thomas. Tough grab. And then it says, Ahmed, our new kicker, drills him from 50, 51, and 54. Slow start, but finishing strong. I don't know what slow start means because I didn't hear anything about him kicking earlier, but that's freaking crazy. First of all, the fact that his 3 kicks started at 50, I don't think I've ever seen that. Usually it's like you kick from the 34 and then the 38 and then the 43, and you know, you work your way back and then you might hit one or two from the 50 range. 50, 51, and 54, and he made all 3, and according to Bill Huber, Ahmed made from 51 and 54 with plenty to spare. So, not going to get too hyped up about it, but that's pretty exciting. Rodgers hits Lazard on the deep ball to offset a holding call that made it second and 15. Sammy Watkins with an outstretched catch over the middle, his best day of camp, but it gets called back in what we think is a holding penalty. Holy you-know-what, what a catch by Lazard with C.J. Gardner-Johnson in coverage, an absolute beast-mode leaping catch by 13. Two-minute, Rodgers rainbows deep left to Lazard for 40-plus yards. He lost the ball at the end, but it looked like he had possession first. Dylan, nice run up the middle. The offense line has settled down nicely today. Rodgers tries to hit Tyler Davis on a slant, but not on the same page. Ball hits Marcus May low, but in the hands, falls incomplete. Pressure by the Saints leads to a Rodgers throwaway. Rodgers incomplete to Dobbs on the outside. Ball was overthrown. Packers settle for a field goal attempt in the two-minute drill. False start by the field goal team backs it up 5 yards. Ahmed is good from 40. So, hey, there's, by my count, that's 4 for 4. According to Dave Schroeder, he actually missed, but then the flag gave him another opportunity. Nobody else says that. Why would you not add that? He missed from, but why would you get another attempt if you missed? I don't know. Whatever. I guess they called the play dead and he missed, whatever. Got another attempt and made it. Rashawn Gary, not with the ones and the two-minute defense. Make of that what you will. Saints cornerback C.J. Gardner-Johnson has been picking Aaron Rodgers' brain all day between reps. Then he lines up against Alan Lazard and gets torched. Jair pass breakup in coverage versus Michael Thomas. Packers defense wins that round. What round? What happened to the rest of this? Oh, whatever. Beggars can't be choosers. Dave Schroeder says, Saints offense with a two-minute drill chance. First chunk pass attempt broken up by Alexander saying, don't test me. Fourth down hold, not a single first down allowed. Wes Hodkowitz says, Saints offense goes three and out. Alexander broke up 4th-and-8 pass intended for Michael Thomas. Packers defense is embarrassing the Saints offense, and I, for one, am loving it. Packers number two offense goes nowhere and doesn't pick up a first down in the two-minute drill. Says they didn't even try their fourth down attempt. They called it early after just 3 plays, which is a little sad. Coach is like, nah, that's enough. Let's get out of here. Tipo with a sack in the two-minute drill. Garvin in the same area, too. McDuffie, I think, with the big hit in two-minute drill. TJ Slayton with a sack on book. Coverage was fantastic down the field. Packers second-team defense in the two-minute drill versus the Saints. Defensive line is Lowry and Wyatt. Outside linebackers are Garvin and Naliai. Inside linebackers are Barnes and McDuffie. Corners, Gene Charles, Gafford, and Nixon. Safeties are Scott and Davis. Results from the Packers versus Saints two-minute drills. Green Bay's number one offense, 3 points. Saints' number one offense went 3 and out. Green Bay's number two offense, 3 and out. Saints' number two offense, 1 first down. And then out. Danny Davis did not come back for the quote-unquote young player period. He didn't come back after going into the Hudson Center, so we'll have to see what's up with that. Maybe that gets answered here in a minute. I don't know. A little bit of locker room interview stuff. Aaron Rodgers says he thinks 50 catches each for Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon this season is realistic. Said they need to get their best 11 on the field. So, little bit of a look forward into what Rodgers at least believes the offense is going to look like. Just for clarity, Aaron Jones had 61 last year. A.J. Dillon had 34. So he's projecting about 50% more catches for A.J. Dillon. Aaron Rodgers' impression of the first joint practice against the good Saints defense. He says, I feel like today it was kind of a stalemate for us on offense, which was good because it seems like every day against our defense, we've kind of been on the short end. So in other words, he thinks they did a better job against the Saints defense than they do against the Packers defense. So we'll call that a win. Apparently, one of the things that Matt Schneidman was trying to get him to say what he said on the field in the locker room, because he's not allowed to report what happened on the field. But if they tell it again, it's kind of a stupid rule, I guess. But anyways, he said, heard Rasul Douglas say something about last year after a pass breakup guarding Jarvis Landry. He confirmed he was talking about his 2-interception game versus Cleveland last year. Quote, I guarded him before. I was just telling him, like, things don't change just because you switch jerseys. So he shut him down when he was a Brown. He shut him down again as a Saint. Asked Aaron Rodgers if Packers have a wide receiver pecking order emerging in his mind, he named wide receiver one Alan Lazard, quote, premier slot receiver in the league, unquote, Randall Cobb, and Sammy Watkins, who 12 says had his best practice today. So still have not put Romeo Doubs quite on that tier yet, which I think kind of makes sense. It's a big jump to make. It really is, especially for a guy that just doesn't have the understanding and the experience of a professional NFL player. But I guess I'm saying that shouldn't be taken super negatively. Ryan Wood says, Aaron Rodgers is not pleased with the drops from his young receivers. Asked him if he meant specifically this play, the Romeo Doubs drop. He says, no, not necessarily, but that was my best throw of the day. But specifically, especially when you factor in not just the drops, but the flags primarily pointing at the offensive line. Let me just play this. This is via Aaron Rodgers here.
You know, I didn't think we ran the ball very well, especially outside zone. I thought we threw it pretty good. Had some opportunities. A lot of mental errors, a lot of pre-snap penalties. So kind of in the theme of camp, simple plays, we're messing up. So it's good to do it against another team. I like the energy from the first unit, but a lot of mental mistakes.
And again, it's frustrating because it's stuff that doesn't have to happen. You know, I mean, it's one thing if you're not talented enough, if you're not good enough, that's just what it is. But when you are that good and you're just making stupid mistakes that you shouldn't be making, that sucks. And that's my frustration with Dobbs is you are that freaking good. You know, and even the offensive line, we've seen it. Just, you know, whatever. A little bit more on Rasul Douglas. He says, we both got the same agent, talking about Jarvis Landry, both same agency. We were both out to dinner like 3 months ago in Los Angeles together, just chilling. We went out to the game together, so it's all love. But like I say, I don't have any friends when I'm on the field. Aaron Rodgers continuing with the receivers. He says Aaron Rodgers didn't hold back on wanting more from his young receivers. We've got to be way more consistent. A lot of drops, a lot of bad route decisions, running the wrong route. We've got to be better in that area. And let's be completely honest about this. He's talking about Romeo Dobbs. What other really young receiver is he talking to? Randall Cobb? I mean, maybe Amari. But when he specifically highlights drops, and the only drop I'm aware of today was Romeo Dobbs, I think there's another note coming up here, but it's something to the effect of it's great to have like splash plays, but we need to be consistent. Again, clearly talking about Romeo Dobbs. Apparently there were some comments made by Rasul Douglas saying that Jaire Alexander was really hard on them today, which is not his norm. He says that as good as they played, they need all 11 guys to be dominant. So it sounds like Jaire is kind of emerging as that leader on the defense, similar to what Rodgers is saying. You know, it's good to be good, but we need everybody to be great. So while he's tearing it up and while other guys are doing great, Rasul's out there killing it and everything else, he's highlighting, maybe not directly or specifically, but he's highlighting certain guys are not pulling their weight and that's not good enough. He has aspirations of being the best defense in the NFL, right? We can't get there if half of us aren't pulling our weight. There have been now like 7 different responses with the exact same thing. All I said is Dobbs has got an issue with drops, man. Good news is that drops can be corrected. He will. Jordy Tay and JJ all had drop issues early. It can be fixed. Jordy, D.A., James Jones all had similar issues early on. Tay Adams had his moment also, and look where he is now. Absolute killer, but Chase couldn't catch a ball either during camp. Just got another one this second. The drops hurt, but we have watched, I'm guessing there should be a word there, come through the other side of them. I don't know. Maybe people think I'm just looking to be comforted or something. I don't know. Whatever. We'll leave it at that. You folks have yourselves a good night. I will talk to you tomorrow. Have a good one. Bye-bye.